All right, I'm kicking out my kids here, and good morning.
Right. Good morning.
How's everybody? All right. So,
Hey,
yeah,
Corbin.
okay, my
Cut
boy.
your hair. Cut
Yes,
your hair,
I
Corbin.
had to convince him to lop it off.
Oh, man. Precious hair.
Maybe we'll try this, right? So, he's always inspired by, Alva and Milton. So if Alva and cut their hair, then he could cut his hair too.
You cut his hair. You actually don't have to drink.
I said Mr. Scott cuts his hair all the time, so your model too.
What little I have left.
Yes. All right. Hey, we're
Yeah.
gonna get started because I eat all. When we get started, I'm at home, and I want to be able to get into the building to worship together with everybody. So I'll be hard stopping at 10:30 so we can get out of here and get to church on time. But I just thought of something. We usually start with praise, but because the text that we're looking at in Matthew chapter 6 does have an element of providing for those in need. I wanted us to think this morning, just for a moment, of when you were in need, when you were in need, and the Lord, it was through the Lord that He provided for you. Think of a time when you were in need. And the Lord provided for you. I'm not necessarily talking so much about this text today actually has to do with even the poor and the needy of society, but I just wanted us to think a little bit about what it felt feelings wise, right? What was your sentiment when the Lord provided for you? When you were in need. Can anyone share? Just think about that and just share the sentiment, what your thoughts were, what you were thinking, what you were. Bless you, Bethany. Whoa, Bethany sneezes. I can hear from upstairs. How did you feel or what when the Lord provided for you in your time of need? I'm sure we all experienced that before. Share a word.
I felt peace, Pastor Alex, and by my serious illness some 20 years ago, and provided for me, provided for Jennifer and Dorothy. We were all taken care of. This blessing from him. I saw I was in a bad way medically then, but I felt at peace that God would provide, and God provided for all of us. I felt more at peace, turned all my problems and troubles over to him, and he looked out for us, took care of our needs. Real blessing from God.
You said that you had peace knowing that God will provide.
Yes.
That's neat. Okay. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else ever experience when God provided for you in your need? I'm sure more of you than one person has. How did you feel when God provided in your time of need? Go ahead and give me a word. So Scott said peace. Probably not too hard, guys.
Comforted.
Comforted. Yeah. Joy and hope. You felt hopeful? Wow.
And good health.
Okay.
Very grateful.
Grateful, yes, for sure. Good.
The burden is light.
The burden is light. Good. Yeah. Did somebody say something? Okay, great.
Steadiness.
I'm sorry.
Steadiness.
Steadiness, yes. The Lord provided for you in your need and you feel steady. Or last night I had the youth group just sit with God's word in Genesis 22. We all know the name Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And it says the Lord will provide. And that came from Genesis chapter 22. And our youth spent time just, you know, I didn't preach a sermon on it, just had everybody sit with the word and make their observations for the first time in the youth group. And sometimes even knowing that the Lord will provide gives us that steadiness, right? Or hope, gives us a light burden. Keep that in mind today as we even think about this text. it's not really a direct implication of the text, but the recipients, sometimes, even recently, I didn't plan on sharing this, but I received a gift in an area of need, something that I literally said to God, you know, God, I don't think I need what I thought I needed or wanted, and I can surrender that to you. I trust that you're good enough without. But someone outside of our church actually gave to our family very generously in this area of need, and being a recipient of that, you know, initially I was telling Bex, hey, you know, no, give it back, like it's very Chinese, I think, or culturally, whatever I know, I'm partially American culturally and partially Chinese culturally, but it was like, no, give it back. Tell them no, you know. And this family had said, no, this is us giving to the Lord, who put it on our heart to give to you. And it's so generous. And I was a little bit floored. That's how I felt. I was floored and surprised. I felt uplifted, but also a little like torn, but also reminded at the end of the day that the Lord provided. And I was experiencing a lot of the things that you guys had said. My first comment to Bex was, I'm speechless that someone would think of our family and give to us so generously. I was speechless. And I didn't even know what to say, but my heart was filled with gratitude to the Lord. I think there's an economy of God that he has set up. And maybe we'll touch on that today, but let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll kick off on our text. Father, this morning, we are gathered here together for the sake of being in fellowship with one another, and also for a greater familiarity with your word. Lord, so many recently have been asking me, how do I know that I'm hearing from the Lord? Or sharing with our youth counselors or in different places, how do I know that I'm hearing from the Lord? And I think that's such a precious question. But the answer to that always begins with a familiarity of your word, Lord. And because your word and your promises open the doorway for us to know your heart, Lord, behind how life is to be lived and the economy, the way of mercy, the way of grace, the way of giving. Today I pray that as we study your word, and by study, I don't mean merely head knowledge, but I pray that you would be moving in our hearts to reveal your heart to us, God. So I thank you for the gathering this morning. I know that there are burdens of people here in this room, burdens that may really be weighing us down. And I just pray that on this Sunday morning, we would just commit those burdens to you. The book of Peter tells us that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, you care for us. And so we can cast our cares, our burdens upon you. We do that this morning so that we can worship you and be with brothers and sisters and to have a light burden, believing that you are Jehovah Jireh. You, the Lord, will provide. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me go ahead, and I had some slides. So I'll share screen. How do I do that? Where am I? Okay, here it is. Okay. We're in Matthew 6. Go ahead and open up your Bibles. And I wanted to share something kind of funny to kick it off. I could probably go straight into the text if we don't have enough time, but I thought this was interesting. I was going to open up a question with, if you are given $100,000 today, how would you plan to use it and get into your groups and just warm us up a little bit? But we asked that at our house when Alva came over for dinner. Actually, I think we said $1 million maybe, but $100,000 seems a little bit more applicable, something that we could actually do something with. I wanted to share with you, and I asked her permission, Abby. I don't know. I can't see Bethany right now because I'm sharing my screen, but I don't know if Bethany wants me to share what she said or what Alva said, but Abby shared that she would save sea turtles because she saw a documentary that the sea turtle world is depleting and is in dire concern. She also saw things that have to do with entire villages in Africa that do not have clean drinking water. And she saw something somewhere, I don't even know where, that showed people drinking brownish water compared to our water. And she wanted to use her money to help those in Africa and those particular villages. I forgot where she said that have need. And she said that she wanted to use that as a platform, as an opportunity to bring the gospel of Jesus to them. I don't think the sea turtles, but to those in Africa who don't have clean drinking water. I was moved by that. It's cute to hear my daughter share that, and it's very refreshing. But when you hear people share how they would use their money so generously or altruistically, right, thinking about others, do you think it's wrong that she shares that? Do any of you think that it's kind of wrong or weird that she shares that? If you heard an adult share how much that they use their money to help other people, does it start to get a little bit more weird, a little bit more wrong versus yes?
What do you mean by wrong?
I don't know. I didn't think too much about this question. Just more like feel a little bit strange.
Virtual signaling?
What was that?
Virtual signaling.
Virtual signaling, right? Okay. Let me share you another slide, right? So, okay, when Abby does that, when you Google search what Bill Gates, right, you know, and you have whatever gets filled in, you know, at the end behind that, right, you can see what the top searches are on when you type in what Bill Gates or what Elon Musk or whatever these rich guys, people search about them. And one of the things, one of the top searches is what Bill Gates spends his money on, right? If you have that much money, you want to know how he spends his money. And, or look at the bottom, it says what Bill Gates does with his money. People want to know. And I think Bill Gates know that people want to know. And when you go to that search, what Bill Gates does with his money, it says that the Gateses have spent money traveling for their charity work. They donated more than $2 billion in 2016 to causes related to global health and development. I mean, there's a lot of money that he spends on altruistic or you know, spending money for charity, for good causes. That feels really good, but at the same time, you know, does it have some type of implication, right? I'm just kind of setting up for our text this morning. Our text now, as we shift into Matthew chapter 6, says this: beware to the kingdom people of Jesus, right? Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, okay, my kingdom people, Jesus says, this is part of his kingdom sermon. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is our text that we're looking at, and I'm going to break it down a little bit to you, but I always want to give you just a little bit of background. It's better to just open your Bible anyways, right? I think, like, get familiar with your own Bible, even if it's on the phone. That's what I shared with the youth. Okay, so I need to give us a little bit background on this. It is cool, though. So this happened recently. My kids actually asked, when we shared with them, that there was a family that gave to us so generously. This family actually told us, do not tell your kids or anyone who gave this money, please. And our kids asked why. We want to know. We want to know who gave to you, to us, right? And we said they didn't want you to know. And they said, why? And I literally quoted this verse, right? Let me give you a little bit of background on this real quick, right? Even though this concept of giving to the poor and needy, really that's what this is about. It's not specifically commanded anywhere, but it's very heavily loaded in God's framework, God's economy. When God was, you know, when the people of Israel were under a theocracy, right, where God is their king, and he was giving them his laws, this was very much part of God's economy, to take care of those who are in need, right? Whether it is foreigners who are poor, widows who are destitute, giving to the priests a tenth of all of you have, this concept of giving to the poor and needy is very, very dominant within God's word, treatment for the poor and needy. Social justice was very big to God. And then even by the time of Jesus, right, this concept of righteousness and almsgiving is this concept of giving money, giving generously to the poor and the needy, became almost equal, right? What we call in the intertestament period between the Old and the New Testament, in even in that time in Jewish literature, There is literature that literally says righteousness, part of righteousness is giving to the poor and those in need, right? And so the Jewish temple and these synagogues became a place where the Jews would actually collect money that was given and even give it to those in need. It is a good thing, right? But somehow, even in this particular commentary that I got this from, somehow it became natural that the showingness, okay, the visual display of this giving and this display of generosity became very connected with giving, right? It was a perfect way, this commentary says, to be seen. It was a perfect way to be seen as particularly righteous, as pious, right? So the more people see you give to those in need, the more you're seen as really, really good, really righteous, okay? I have a question for you guys. Why would people want others to know how much they give? Daniel, if you can split our groups up into just groups of four maybe for about 5 minutes. Why would people want others to know how much they give? Now, of course, I'm not saying this is you, right? Because all of us don't want other people to know how much we give. But why would people tend to want others to know how much they give? All right, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Why? What are some of the things you guys talked about in your breakout rooms? I'm just gonna look around and call on people. Josie, how about you? I see you first, I'm sorry.
That's okay, hi. We just talked about how like human nature is to want recognition from other people and to be praised and I think valued by other people. And so some people want other people to see them giving because they want to be recognized as being good. So the more you give, the more people kind of evaluate you and say like, oh, that person's really good because they're helping.
So people want to be seen as good, giving, right? Good, righteous, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if any of the groups even ask the next question. Then why do people want to appear good, right? People want to be seen as good. Good. Any other groups? Anybody want to share? Julia, did you just take off your mic to share something or no?
Sure. In our group, we talk about could be a people's good intention to inspire other people to do the good things to in the community or other people who in need. Mm. But more importantly, we should give the glory and praise to God instead of showing off ourselves. Mm. And then the purpose of doing the good things to each other should be in the name of God.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's great. I think that, to be honest, at Jesus's time, what he was speaking about, they were actually doing this even in the name of God, right? The money to help the poor could have been very inspirational because it was done in the name of God. But somehow you touched on something that there's something more, right? Something like the reason, right? The perspective. Okay, good. Anybody else want to share? Okay, this was just kind of a setup for us. Let's go ahead and check out this verse. I know it's going to be harder for you in the classroom, class 106. I thought all week long and hard if I should just start teaching inside, and I just didn't think it was appropriate just yet. I think the class needs to know when we will moving fully inside. But you have your Bibles, and if you have your devices right now, let's read this and feel free to make some annotations so that we can see what God's word is saying. And I'll tell you right now, it will be very helpful if you have a Bible in front of you, because you will see that this is kicking off a new section of his sermon. This is the beginning of another 1, 2, 3 different topics that Jesus is going to show. You'll see a repetition of particular words. So go ahead and annotate, and we'll take a couple minutes doing that. And then I'll walk you through it a little bit. Oh, annotate means you can mark up my screen if you want. Whoever did yellow, there's another reward too, if you wanted to catch that. Yeah, it's cool. All right, very cool. All right, so if you do have your Bibles open, let me annotate as well. All right, so let's check this out here. We have this concept here. Verse 1, Jesus says, he kicks off this new section here, beware of practicing your righteousness. Beware of it, right? Okay, so beware, right? Of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, right? For then you will have, someone highlighted, no reward from your Father who is in heaven, right? And then it kicks off here, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. Okay, there's a word here, the hypocrites do. In the synagogues, okay, that's it, where they worship, and in the streets, so that's within and outside, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received already, again, the word here, their reward. So they receive their reward. Okay, that's one idea right there, right? Verse 2 is talking about those who, he's saying, hey, don't give like those people. When you give to the needy, don't be like that. Don't be like the hypocrites do. Okay. But when you give to the needy, right? How should we give? Verse 3, people of the kingdom, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Okay, so it's in secret, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, right, will, again, the word here, reward you. So the reward is coming from your Father. Okay. Notice that we see the repetition, someone already caught that, of the word reward, right? So there's no reward here. Because for the hypocrites, they've already received their reward. And when you give the need, and when you give it in secret, the Father will then reward you, right? If you open up your Bibles, I have one in front of me, you can see that there's a repetition there of this concept, reward, right? We're going to be covering this in the next few sections, right? Starting from verse 5 to 5 to 14, right? Particularly in verse 5 to 8, we see this. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be, again, seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Okay, that repetition of that phrase. But when you pray, go into your own room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Repetition of that word. So we see the repetition of some words going on here. And then in 16, and when you fast, okay, so when you fast and pray, when you fast, do not look gloomy as the hypocrites. Again, repetition of that word. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Repetition right there again. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. They've received their reward if they're seen. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by others. Again, repetition right there. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay, there is a concept that's going on here. And we're seeing these phrases, right, being repeated, right? We see these phrases of reward. We see this concept of whether or not we're being seen. And we see the repetition of the word hypocrites and being praised by others, right? When you're being praised by others, you have received your reward, and that is it. Interesting. But when you give, and it's done in secret, even to the point where your left and your right hand don't know what you're doing, your Father who sees in secret will reward you, right? So we see this repetition. These things are coming up, right? This term, hypocrite, is pretty interesting, right? If I was to give you some background on this particular word, hypocrite, right here, right? This word, hypocrite. This word, hypocrite, in those days was originally used for actors on a stage, and they wore masks, right? So when actors are wearing masks, what are they doing? What are people when they wear masks on a stage, right? It's literally hiding your true self, right? You're actually hiding your identity. You're putting up an image. You're putting up an image. And this actor was called a hypocrite, right? Someone who is showing something, but actually not revealing their true self. Jesus then borrowed that word that had this definition at that time to criticize the righteousness of the Pharisees. All right. Okay. So I got to like open up my screen so I can see some faces. You guys with me? All right. Are we tracking with this? But when you give, same thing in the instruction of when you pray, or later on, when you fast, right? There's another way for the people of the kingdom, right? Let me ask you a question right now. Or any questions or comments first?
So I was in the same group as Julia, right? So at first, our first reaction to the question was, yeah, show off to get praises and affirmation, acknowledgement. But then the interesting aspect of, you know, earlier in the same book, we saw the scripture saying you want to display your good deeds in front of people so that they may give glory to your Father in heaven. So if our good deeds are done or in secret, of course the Father sees, but what about others who we want to share the gospel with?
Yes.
How do you reconcile those two?
Yes, great question. And what is Jesus saying then? Is he contradicting himself? Right?
Of course not.
Right? Oh, that's a good Bible though. That's an easy answer, right? He's not contradicting himself. Yuen, what do you think? Because there are these three things at least he mentions, whether it's giving to those who are in need, like by next week, we'll probably drop into prayer, right? How you pray. And then we'll, in the following week, or maybe we'll camp out in prayer for a little while, because that could take a deeper dive, and then we'll go back to fasting. But Yuen, what do you think? Are there other things that, I mean, this is even a question that I had prepared. Like, are there other things that people do that appear righteous? I'm starting to give a little bit of the answer to your question there, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. See?
Sorry, what was the question?
So even Josie had said this, right? Josie said that when people are doing this, they want to be seen as good. They want to appear righteous. How intentional you are about that, I lost my train of thought. How intentional you are about that may or may not even be clear to yourself, how much you're trying to display righteousness, right? You may or may not even know that you're doing it for the wrong reason. But apparently something was happening in the Jews' display of what it meant to love God and to be righteous, that they had a system where giving started to become a display of this righteousness. And Jesus knew something, so that's why I explained what that word hypocrite is. We reverse the word hypocrite sometimes. And we say, oh, it's like you say one thing and you do another thing, right? But actually, the context in which Jesus used the word hypocrite was used for an actor. It was someone who wore a mask, who was showing to the crowd the mask, but hiding their true self. Right? Because that's what an actor does. You put on the mask and you're not yourself. You're acting to be someone else that you're not. You're not that person. You're acting it. And Jesus is saying, when you give to the needy, don't give it like these actors do. The way they give it in their synagogue and in the street corners. Because these actors are doing it so that they may be praised by others. Jesus knows, what does Jesus know about people more than their actions? He knows what?
Their heart.
Their hearts.
That's right. He knows the heart. So if I was to go back, I'm sorry.
I think it's the from the gym.
Oh, the classroom 106. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys want to say something, classroom 106? No. Okay. Cool. No worries. So to say Liu Yun's question is, which I think is a great question. Well, Jesus is not contradicting himself. He wants something to be displayed to the world. so that glory would be given to God, so that people would see Christ in us, that they would see that we are people who are of the kingdom of Jesus, and they would see that. We would display God's glory to the world. So is Jesus saying then, like, don't give in front of others? Is that a law he's laying down? Is that what he's saying? Should we just only give in secret? Is that what it is? Does it mean to not do it? What do you guys think?
You should do it, right? It's good to do it.
What do you guys think Jesus is getting at here? That's why I asked the question. My daughter, Abby, said in front of our whole dinner table with Alva there, hey, if I got $1 million, I'm gonna use it. I'm going to use it for good things. I'm going to use it to help needy turtles, sea turtles. I'm going to use it to help needy people who don't have clean drinking water. And I'm going to use it so I could bring the gospel to them. That's why I asked the question, was it wrong that she said that? I mean, is it like, couldn't that be seen as like self-propagating herself? Like, I want to show you how altruistic I am. I'm gonna show you how much I love Jesus. Is that wrong that she said that?
Hey, that's a good example. because honestly, her comment is neutral. That's where it is, right? Because I don't, you see your daughter's heart. I don't as much, but I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. But honestly, it could be wrong, or it could be very right, right? Depending on what, her heart, right?
Yeah. Okay. So what's another? Okay, we use heart for a lot of things.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus is getting at in terms of our giving? These Jews and Judaism at that time, they were giving to those who were in need. They were.
Yeah.
The act itself was
good.
Right. It's not wrong.
Yeah.
What was Jesus getting at? Frank said the word heart, but what really, the heart is used for many things. You know, I always say I like to preach from the heart, but I'm not like, what does that really mean? What am I saying?
So Pastor Alex, are you trying to say it's the intention of your action?
Okay. Could it be?
So we can do it in front of other people, and as long as the intention is pure, is good.
What do you think? What do you
think? Yeah. That's a good way for, that's a good teacher answer a question.
No, I know that trick. You always turn the question back.
It's not a trick.
It's not a trick.
No. He's asking you a question. Yeah.
But I think it's a good question. Yeah. I want you to keep threading it through, because you already started talking about it, right? What do you think? Because you're thinking what other people are thinking. Right? What is Jesus getting at here? What, you know, let's move away from do we do this or do we not, right? Frank and I are very cautious about that, of just going on a moral checklist and saying, hey, Christians, people of the kingdom, do this or do not do this. That becomes another sort of, this can easily become another sort of weight of a law on us, an unhealthy weight, right? Like the church only practices giving in secret, you know, or whatever, you know, we can never give in public. Okay, I'm not. But what is Jesus saying? You know, besides the do this or do that, do not do that, there is an element of that. Jesus is encouraging something. He does say to give in secret, specifically to those who are poor and in need. But what is he getting at? You mentioned some phrases. You were getting there, but you're asking me if I'm getting there. What are you getting at?
No, I think it makes sense to me. You know, it's the intention. You know, are you truly doing this to help others, to glorify Father? So I can understand this, but I think the difficulty I have is the language used in the scripture, right? What Jesus said, both this one and the other one that's in Matthew chapter 5, they're very clear, very direct command. Right. Here, do not. And there, you know, you should, mm-hmm. right? So. Mm-hmm.
Do you see so let's get to the heart of the issue first, and then we'll get to that question right there. Just to make sure everybody follows along. Liu Yun said, or Yun said, the she's already clear what Jesus is getting at. Are you guys clear? She said the word is the intention of the heart. What's another word for intention? Like, come on, synonyms time. Room 106, what do you guys think? There's like so many of you. Give me a synonym for like intention.
Motive.
What's your motive? What's your motive? He's calling out those who are trying to be praised by others. He's contrasting a type of giving that they put under God's name, but they were wearing a mask. They were not revealing their true selves. They were showing something that is not their true self. They were giving for another motive, another intention. Their intention of the heart, was it really to help those who are poor and in need? Because it says that they gave sounding trumpets, whether or not they're sounding our trumpets, there's a lot of debate on that, right? It's not, you know, just drawing attention to themselves so that they may be praised by others. You see that? That's an intention issue. He gave it right there. So that they may be praised by others. And then he says, well, they got their reward. They got praised by people.
Well, we have a hand here.
Oh, yes, go ahead. I can't see the hand. Yep.
Yeah, I think one of the things that stood out to me is the first word. I don't think it's a command to not do it because it says beware. Mm-hmm. So when you do it, just be cautious of your heart and your intention. Mm-hmm. You do a heart check. It's actually not a command to not practice your righteous before other people. It's beware of your intention, mm-hmm. right? I think that's the key word that helps us, you know. So it's not like a legalistic thing where you know checklist that you follow or a law that you follow, but yeah, beware, be cautious, and do a heart check.
Heart check.
Make sure your motive and your intention is correct.
Good. I like that. Thank you. End of class. Right. Okay. So it is a heart check. It's the reason why I wrote this discussion question, which we don't have time for, is this is a very sneaky thing. The scripture reminds us that the heart is deceitful, right? Our heart is deceitful. We deceive ourselves. There are other things that we do, even today as Christians, that are we checking our heart? Does that happen in our church where some type of activity that goes on is not heart checked? we're doing it for some reason that's not pure. It's not that it's not good to do. It's that something goes on and God knows it, and maybe no one else does. In those days, these three things, giving to the poor and needy, which is called almsgiving, and prayer and fasting, all three things that are not bad of themselves, in fact, they're good, became something that became a display and was being done for the wrong reasons. Good things done for the wrong reasons. And maybe sometimes it's 70% for the right reasons and maybe 30% for the wrong reasons, right? What Peter says is check your heart, or check your intention. Yun's language is check your intention. Check your motivation. Do you really care that people praise you for that? This is really revealing. Jesus is all about revealing what's going on in our intentions. Jesus is always about revealing what's going on in our motivation. That's why I'm glad Frank said that the example I used for Abby was a good example. I thought it was a good example because to some, I'm sorry, did someone say something? To some, that may be like, oh gosh, here she goes. She's telling everybody how righteous she is. She wants to save the poor in Africa and bring the gospel there. Wow, goody two shoes. Or she's just genuinely saying, here's how I would spend my $1 million. Who knows? I think God knows. Does it matter that she said it, really? Does God, would God say, you know what, just keep that to yourself? Maybe. I don't think it's bad to give in secret. I think Jesus is encouraging something here. But the main driver is a motive issue. What's going on in that? It's your intentions. Yun, I think if we took Yun's comment and say, does it conflict? What, you know, the language of the scripture sometimes could be a little confusing. I agree. Yun, do you think that if people who checked and guarded their motivation for righteousness and their giving to those in need, if those were checked, do you think that that would be a display to the world of something different, of the people of the kingdom? Would that bring God?
Yeah, that's what I was discussing with my mom just now. So maybe we don't have to worry about whether the world will see, like we don't have to intentionally display, like God will let it shine somehow. I was really thinking about like how in Buddhist temples, you see those who we call 善男信女施主's name, you know, like prominently showcased, you know, how many these people donated this much and these people donated that much, and we build a bridge for the village and we did all these things. But you never see those things in Christian churches, right? But that, to me, that's a good deed, right? Like obviously Christians give, but you don't showcase it, you know, like highlight it in such a prominent place. And this thing itself is a good deed. And
ways that display something about our God.
Yes. Maybe. So somehow God will, I think that's how I reconcile, because I really got upset. I don't know how much, but, you know, like, for example, when I was at UCR, and every year we spend so much money and effort to pick up students from the airport. Mm-hmm. But and then the student government, they try to get a credit. So they use our resources, our people to pick up people, but then they don't want us to tell them we are from Christian churches. And I got so upset. But our pastor said, well, but the needy get helped. So what? They didn't know it's from us. And so, yeah, and also, you know, like when there was an earthquake or something, and then I saw the post on the internet saying, you know, the Buddhist Ciji, they donated this much. What about Christian churches? And I got very upset. But I guess maybe I don't have to. God's glory is not up to me. So we just do it and then do it in secret without the intention even to display good deeds for God's glory, and then he will take care of it. So that's my take as of now.
That's a great take. That's a great take. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, this is something that we should think about and wrestle even for ourselves. And I don't think it's a hard and fast. I think there's a principle behind God's word here, though, right? There's a principle that he's giving. And I love what you shared. The way that you said it is, I think God will be able to display his own glory through us in his way, right? Again, very upside down kingdom. It's not the way that an earthly kingdom would function. God's kingdom is antithetical. It's anti whatever the world sees today. What Pastor James argued with me before is, why do you call it upside down? I'm like, well, you know, that's just the way theologians call it. But truly, it's the right side up kingdom. It's everything else is upside down. So it seems like his way is upside down. God has an economy. He has a way. And this kicks off this little series for us to evaluate this and prayer and fasting and maybe other things, just laying the groundwork for the motive of our heart, right? Good. Thanks, class. I'm going to head over to church and let me wrap in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Your word is so rich. I find that when we wrestle sometimes with your word, your spirit is the revealer of truth, and we not always have an answer so quickly, but I think that's the joy when we always ask the question of how do we hear from you, God. Your word makes it so clear, your principles, your economy, Lord, the economies of your kingdom is so marvelous. It's beyond our understanding, because we're so saddled down in the world's way of thinking. Even when things don't go the Christian way, we might even find righteous anger and be upset at times, like you and shared. But I'm so thankful today that we can see that you are the defender of your own name. And yet you choose, as Pastor James and I always share with each other, you seem to delight in choosing imperfect vessels who are being transformed, who are being sanctified, to be used to display your glory. And the more we understand your ways, the ways of your kingdom, the ways of your heart, the more somehow, Lord, even when we do it in secret, somehow it will show to the world. It will allow us to be the salt and the light. Maybe we don't have to try so hard being the salt and the light, but to let our life be under the ways of your kingdom and let you do the rest. Father, we thank you and we want to rest in that. Thank you for being our provider. I pray that we would be a group of people that give to those in need, because we know that you have always given to us in need. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who will provide, and allow us to be those to provide for others as well. Thank you, God, so much. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.